This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What does it take per hour to lure you into a job? I'm David Brancaccio. In a few minutes, we'll get the latest report on consumer confidence. One piece of that asks if people think jobs are plentiful, and forecasters expect that response to be tepid. Which is weird, given that people doing the hiring say they can't find workers. Economist David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
The monthly survey from the National Federation of Independent Businesses showed that the number of companies with positions that they can't fill is at its highest level in over 40 years. So, you know, the unemployment rate's apparently 6%, but businesses are having a very hard time finding workers to fill those positions.
Yes, I studied this in Econ 101, the reservation wage. It's how much you have to pay to get actually people to do the job. And these days, what, that's running high?
Well, it is, because the average unemployment benefit runs at about a little over $300 a week normally. And that's about, you know, about $8 an hour. But because of these supplemental unemployment benefits, which are another $300, you can make a little over $15 an hour on average on unemployment benefits. You, as an employer, you have to pay at least that $15 an hour really to encourage people to work. So what's really going on is, it's not that there are no workers out there. There are just no workers who really want to work a minimum wage job at this point.
We should also factor in the notion that also some people are reluctant to work because they have extra commitments at home because of COVID or their, you know, their health concerns.
Well, that's right. And indeed, this labor market's tightening up very fast because you're right, there are people who can't work safely in this environment. And of course, immigration has also fallen greatly over the pandemic. So we're short a lot of workers who would normally be coming into this country. So, you know, the unemployment rate went up very fast, but it's also coming down very fast.
Something the Fed will have to consider when it meets this week. David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, the chief global strategist there. Thank you.
Anytime.
There's news President Biden is issuing an executive order today requiring that federal contractors pay their workers at least $15 an hour, up nearly 37% from the $10.95 an hour minimum that's now.
The order comes as the Biden administration's campaign to hike the national minimum wage to $15 an hour stalled in Congress. Instead, the administration is requiring that government contract workers get $15 an hour. The new minimum has to be in all new federal contract proposals starting January 30th of 2022, and it'll be included in annual renewals for existing contracts. The White House says hundreds of thousands of federal contract workers will get a raise, including cleaners and maintenance employees, nursing assistants, caring for veterans, and cafeteria workers.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer there. The day some users welcome but online advertisers dreaded has arrived. Apple's new privacy feature for iPhones and iPads has started rolling out when you update the unit. It's a feature that has, for starters, pitted Apple against Facebook. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details.
Apple's privacy feature requires apps that track users' activities across the web to get their express permission before doing so. A pop-up window asks users to opt in to be tracked. Apple has been talking about this change for 7 months, and companies reliant on online advertising have said their profitability could take a hit. Most notably, Facebook has taken out full-page newspaper ads, arguing against the change. It says Apple is just trying to nudge more free apps away from an ad-based model and into charging their customers so Apple can take a cut of those fees. Apple counters that it's simply looking out for its users' interests, and less tracking might even reduce the echo chamber effect when people are served up more of the same articles, videos, and the like in order to show them more ads. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure?
At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Is there a direct line from antitrust policy to the misinformation, propaganda, and lies we get fed online, or to the price of airline tickets or even medicine? Senator and former presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar thinks so. She wants to recapture the zest of the trust busters from more than a century ago. Her new book out today is called Antitrust, Taking on Monopoly Power from the Gilded Age to the Digital Age. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be on.
If I were pitching a movie studio, maybe they would bite on Ghostbusters Next Generation or something. But if I were to pitch Trustbusters 2021, would anybody be interested?
Oh, come on. I actually have a whole section in the book about the use of antitrust in famous programs like Billions and a James Bond movie. And part of my argument is we've got to make this real. I wrote this book because we have a serious competition problem in our economy right now. It's hurting our families, our workers, our democracy. And people have to understand it's affecting them. They ask themselves, well, why don't we have good privacy protections? Well, part of it is we have big monopolies that are the gatekeepers. We've got monopolies in everything from cat food to caskets.
I mean, your book does talk about the need for maybe some rebranding. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what a trust is until they read your book.
Yeah.
And then they get the full multi-layered exploration of that. But you're suggesting maybe instead of antitrust, calling it competition policy. I mean, there may be something there. It's still a little bit wonky, isn't it?
Well, it is, except, you know, the book is called Antitrust because that's what the subject is. And I think it's an interesting turn on words because people don't trust right now. They don't trust institutions.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I like competition policy because that incorporates pushing competition, which can also mean things like made in America provisions. It can mean doing something when it comes to immigration reform because you want our country to be more competitive and have workers in place. So we start seeing what the antitrust laws were intended to do is to promote competition.
Before we go, so my listeners are clear, some people worry that if you're leaning on corporations, ultimately what you get is less innovation. I mean, the book spends a lot of time talking about abuses as you see it in the pharmaceutical industry, but you know, it's a risky business when they're trying to make important drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what they try fails. Don't you worry that being tough with, say, the pharmaceutical industry, we end up with less innovation?
And not one bit. And I make the case there's a huge risk in doing nothing. Look at what happened with the price of insulin.
Right.
I tell the story of a drug for newborns with heart defects. It was always about $109 a treatment. Then one company suddenly has both drugs. They buy out the other one, and it goes up to $1,500 per treatment, which was a huge deal. Went to court. Conservative courts throw it out. It's outrageous. If a senator and the FTC and Democratic and Republican attorney generals can't take on pharma for the newborn babies, I think we have a problem with our laws. So I think you can do smart things with pharma, like allow for reimportation of less expensive drugs from Canada without hurting that innovation one bit.
The new book is called Antitrust, Taking on Monopoly Power from the Gilded Age to the Digital Age. Its author, Amy Klobuchar, Senator from Minnesota. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, David. It was great to be on.
We also talk about ways that she would beef up competition policy instead of one-and-done merger approvals like we have now. Imagine a world where regulators might go back and review mergers periodically to see if consumers ended up getting hurt. If you missed that part of the interview on the air, it'll be streamable from marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.